Many men wish death upon me. Blood in my eye, dog, and I can't see. I'm trying to be what I'm destined to be, and niggas trying to take my life away. I put a hole in a nigga for fucking with me. My back on the wall, now you gon' see. Better watch how you talk when you talk about me, 'cause I'll come and take your life away. Many men, many, 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 many men wish death on me, Lord. I don't cry no more, don't look to the sky no more. Have mercy on me.
These pussy niggas put money on my head, gone get your refund, motherfucker. I ain't dead.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Another day, another podcast. This is Recorded Podcast. That is, I'm joined with a young king, young legend in the game on the making, man. Atlanta, man, we breeding them, man. We breeding them. Atlanta is the home of black excellence, black everything, man. People on the come up, man. We on the way up. These times we remember when we on the way up, and that's why we got to get it recorded right here on This Is Recorded Podcast. Please introduce yourself, king.
What's up, everybody? My name is Juice GQ. You know what I mean? I'm a creative director living here in Atlanta. I'm based out of Cam Kirk Studios. You know what I mean? I also work as a media consultant. So pretty much just, I'll break that down a little bit later. But you know what I mean? Just pretty much I'm here for anybody's media needs, from photography to videography to any type of anything that y'all need revolving around media. Man, that's my stilo. So just give me a call or give me a shout out. I'm over at Cam Kirk Studios, man. Just holler at me. But what's up, Reg? How you been, man?
Definitely, man. Been lovely, man. Just here to teach the people and learn the people about you, man, and try to get this recorded for the people, man. So where are you from originally?
I'm originally from New Jersey. And originally from Franklin, New Brunswick area of New Jersey.
Okay, okay. So how was it growing up in New Jersey?
Yeah, it was cool, for real. Like, my parents moved me out the hood early, like, early in my life. I would say probably I left the hood at probably around fourth grade. Yeah, I'd say third grade. Yeah. So pretty much, you know what I mean? Like, they took me out of the more so urban area and put me in a suburb, and I went to a more so suburban high school called Monroe. So that was about 20, 30 minutes away from there, more towards the train area. So it was, you know what I mean? It was different than Jersey growing up. I got to see both sides, you know what I mean? Like, I went to a white high school, I left the hood to go to white high school, but I played basketball most of the time, so my head was on the court.
Now, have you ever been to the Rucker in New York? You say you love basketball. Did you grow up in that N1 mixtape era?
I drove past it one time. We went to the Gaucho. I want to say we were going to the Gaucho's gym, and I think our bus driver took, like, maybe he went the completely wrong way or something like that. And, like, we ended up just driving past the Rucker, and my coach was like, yo, that's the Rucker right there. Like, if you're nice, you have to be there, but you have to play there type shit. And then, like, it was just like, oh, it's just an awe type shit. Like, but I never went there, played there, seen anything there. I definitely, you know what I mean, I wish, but it wasn't even on that type of time.
Yeah, man, I was originally born in Brooklyn, but I've been all over New York City, man, okay. And all over the world, really. But, one place.
Yeah, that's fire. I used to stay out in Brooklyn for about like 2 years. Williamsburg in Coney Island.
Oh yeah, I was downtown, man. My I was born in Farragut near Fort Greene Projects, man. But when we lived in Harlem, that was the last place we lived before we moved out of New York, man. And we was right around the corner from the Rucker, and I didn't even notice that. I used to be like, oh, there's a lot of people over there. My stepdad was like, yeah, man, it's a Rucker Park. This shit's legendary. That's why. I was like, oh, shit. I ain't even know until, like, I remember a long, long time ago, Magic Johnson had a street ball show, and they showed the Rucker, and it was like, yeah, I was watching my stepdad. I was like, that's around the corner from where we used to live at. And I was like, oh, shit, I ain't even know.
Oh, nah, that's fire. You were super in the mix.
Yeah, like, man, that's what I love about it. A lot of places, I live in California, I live here now, and it's like, you know, I think that's what's going to help me in this podcast game and just in life in general, knowing different people from different walks of life, man. This shit is just amazing, amazing, man. So what kind of music was you on growing up, man? I know you was around a lot of music. Music is a whole vibe. Music is a soundtrack to our life. What's some, like, music, some songs you really remember in your life coming up?
Yeah, man. I was exposed to a lot of different stuff growing up, man. For real, for real. It really ranged, like, from every part of my family because I have older parents. So, you know what I mean? They weren't really the hip-hop parents, you feel me? Like, my mom got into hip-hop late, when I was in high school, but they was more so the jazz, older R&B, maybe like, you know what I mean, Earth, Wind & Fire vibes, Teddy Pendergrass, like that older type of vibe. So me growing up, I learned that the 90s hip-hop and the 90s R&B was like my go-to. Like, it turns out like the first song like I actually memorized, I actually remembered was like Usher's You Got It Bad. I can actually remember because my mom, like we in the car, like I'm young as hell, like actually singing it, like this is the only song like I know verbatim. Like she like, yo, like what the hell? Like, like nah, like a 90s R&B is definitely my vibe. Like that's definitely it. But I mean, it ranges everywhere, though, of course. I mean, I gotta love rap, gotta love hip hop. I tap into different genres here and there. Like, you know what I mean, like I wouldn't say like country, but you know what I mean, like the, you know what I mean, you can go with some of the classics like Phil Collins, like, you know what I mean, throw on some, you know what I mean. Give me another one. I might not too. Just some calm, something calm. Like, damn. It's hard to say right now on the spot. But, I mean, I try to mix it up, though. It's real, real.
Nah, but, man, music is just, man, well-rounded, man. You just be tapped into music. Now, I remember I'm an 87 baby, so I grew up in the crack era, the heart of it, man, for real. But the first CD I ever bought was Jay-Z Hard Knock Life. Do you remember the first CD or album or anything you bought with your own money?
With my own money? Damn. I don't. The funny thing is, I remember the first album I got, but I don't remember the first album I bought myself. Matter of fact, I take that back. I do remember. The first album I got was 50 Cent's Get Rich or Die Trying. My uncle bought that shit for me. He brought it to my crib. Like, my uncle used to get mad hot. So he brought it to my crib at like 1 a.m. It was like, yo, knocking him out, everybody sleep and shit. My pops go to the front door like, yo, boy, like, it's 1 a.m. What's up with you? He's like, yo, get this to little G. Like, and nigga like, yo, get what?
Like, yeah, like, yo, you know the uncles always got to try to get you right. He like, I ain't your father. I'm the cool. I'm the like, cool one.
He like, yo, what is up with boy? Like, yo, I bet. So gave me the Get Rich or Die Trying, and my pops like, yo, chill out. Don't listen to that shit till the morning. Like, you know what I mean, I want to listen to it with you. Make sure you can listen to it. Yo, you know how, like, you know how 50 was. 50 was coming crazy on that Get Rich or Die Trying album. And plus, I mean, in New York, How to Rob was on the radio. Know what I mean, you feel me? Or like, his 50 was already had some buzz to him or whatever. So, radio was already somewhat lit with 50. So my pops already wasn't with it. He already wasn't jacking it. So know what I mean, I went upstairs, took that shit, popped that shit right in my CD player. I forgot to turn the shit down. No, I could swore the shit was down, bruh. That shit blasted mad hard. All you hear is Many Men. Like, you feel me? Like, I just go to the first track, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's track four. I remember Many Men was track four. I just go. That shit sound like all a track. Went to that shit. All you hear is the first gunshots. Oh my god.
That out, man. That right there is legendary because at the time, man, I was living in California when Get Rich or Die Trying came out, but my grandmother had passed in New York, God rest her soul, man. But so we had to fly back to New York, and the one thing, it was a terrible trip because we had to put my grandma to rest, but the one thing I really fuck with, appreciated, the one thing I really fuck with though, I was able to buy Get Rich or Die Trying in New York. That shit was a big deal because it was like buying it in New York and listening to that shit. It was like, yo, that was just different. I mean, and then it was crazy.
It was a different vibe back then.
Where it was just crazy too because going back to California and one of them first tracks, what up, blood? What up, cuz? And they was all on that in California. So it was like, it's a mix between New York and California. So I was like, this shit is beautiful right here. Like, for me, I was like, I could relate to the New York 50, but I also live in California, so I could relate to the niggas that was on that. So he made an anthem for street niggas worldwide, really. It was just like, yo, he connected with everybody in his run. And his grind, man, is legendary, man. 50 and where he's at, to see the growth, man. And that's what a lot of street dudes, for real. It's like, man, you never know your potential if you can just get out and do the right thing. So hopefully, man, it's more, we hear more of those stories like 50, man, could get out of some bullshit, make something of themselves, don't get caught up in the
grind. That's a factor, because power is my favorite shit.
Word, and just everything, and he's a genius. He took that bully mentality into the corporate world. He put Empire, and Power's lasting longer than Empire, and it got different spinoffs and all that, and he was going up against
them. That's a factor, because he didn't stay cheesy with it. I ain't gonna front. He could have went that cheesy route for that Empire way, and I ain't gonna front. Me as a grown-ass man, I don't want to watch musicals. That's just, come on, Empire, you knew damn well you was gonna lose a lot of your daggone, you feel me, audience when you start singing at every daggone episode, you know what I mean? The storylines start going all over the place, plots are, you know what I mean, niggas just doing anything, you feel me? Then y'all try to go back to the streets, it just didn't make no sense no more. So it's like, unrealistic plot. You feel me?
Yeah, it got cheesy. She got cheesy too. Like, it was like, dudes don't be talking like that and dressing like that and all. It's like, yo, come on, son. That's why 50 Cent, he got connected with some shit he could relate to. And that's what they say, like, in the stock market and different things like that as well. Connect with shit you know. Don't try to go in there and fuck around with things you don't know and lose your money.
I literally was just talking to my man about that shit today. He's in the group chat because he's been putting in, niggas asked him, put niggas on the stock shit. But he's been putting in the plays, who you should invest in, for the past 2-3 months, but niggas was ignoring him. So he got fed up, y'all niggas do that shit yourselves and put the videos in to watch the step one, step two, how to get it started. So I'm like, yo, let me stop playing around. He's not wrong. I gotta get right in that stock market shit. I don't want to jump in that shit without knowing what I'm doing. That's the key thing.
Word, man. It's a good podcast called Earn Your Leisure. I don't know if you know, but they give a lot of game about a lot of things, man, in that business world.
Word?
Yes.
What was the name of it one more time?
It's called Earn Your Leisure, EYL, Earn Your Leisure, Earn Your Leisure Activities. And they got different programs and different Market Mondays, and they talk about the stock market, but they do it in a language that we speak. You know what I'm saying? Don't make it too wordy and all that. They some dudes I think out of New York and New Jersey, and they bring different people on. They bring Styles P on and talk about how he got in the pharmacies for life, how he got in his juice bars and stuff like that. They bring a lot of people on to simplify the business talk. You know what I'm saying? So it ain't so wordy, you know, so it's great.
Yeah, Yeah, that's fine. I think I'm definitely gonna look into that for sure.
Definitely. So, did you have any mentors growing up, like in Jersey, on your way to college and stuff like that?
Yeah. Shit. Like, a lot of my family worked in the industry. Growing up, for real. I had an aunt that worked at BET. Like, she was just my inspiration for starting. Like, my first job was, my first industry job was working at 106 and Park. But, it was, like, it was the year before it went down. But I had just kept going up there just to, like, you know what I mean, just for the show. And I would just, I would be that little nigga harassing the person to let people in online. And I eventually got it was my 16th birthday. Yeah, I want to say I got to my 16th birthday. And I finally, he finally gave me a shot. You know what I mean? Just on some, yo, give handout wristbands, make sure everybody signs they slip, make sure everybody gets in, gets seated properly, don't do nothing crazy. And yeah, like, that was my first industry vibe. And like, looking at her move like a boss and everything like that in the industry and in behind closed doors with BET, and seeing how BET awards work and BET hip hop shit, and like, just, it just made me fall in love with the industry. So right there, like, that was my number one mentor, like, growing up. And then I just gained a couple of them start showing out a little bit more. Like, people just start, like, as you go through life, you just start noticing a couple more mentors stick out a little bit more in certain situations. Some people, you know what I mean? Like, you just be surprised who really pops out when you need them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everybody called themselves a mentor and they call themselves an OG. And so, you know what I mean? Like, so it's time to help you out.
Word. Like, yeah, that's amazing.
So I try to stay careful. I try to stay careful with who I call a mentor and who I call, like, an OG type thing. But I really, for real, only have like two, that's not family. I only really have two.
Yeah, and it's just like, for real, like, every day people say big bro and stuff like that. Like, it's like, nah, man, everybody ain't big bro. Everybody ain't this, everybody ain't that. It's only a few that's really gonna give you that shot, man. Who are the other two people that really got you on and helped you along in life?
One of them was, his name was Avery Green. excuse me, I'm sorry. But yeah, his name is Avery Green. He's now the head of sales over in, I want to say, the radio station is 107.9 in Houston. But it was when I had my internship at Hot 97. He was my main mentor, my main person walking me through stuff. Main person taught me how to move that corporate life. Like, of course, now, I mean, I could be in tune with the streets and the cats that, of course, now, I mean, on the blog, and I could be in tune with being on the track, being cool with everybody. But then I have to take that vision and take those ideas and that creativity from there and bring it to the corporate side. Like, and I feel like that's my talent right there. So he saw that in me, and, like, he really molded that for me. Like, yo, bro, like, you really need to be able to go to these boardrooms and let them know what you need in order to take that back to where you come from and raise up your friends and whoever you need, you feel like has talent. So I'm like, oh, snap, like, that really would solidify my role. It's like, even just being on some consulting stuff, like, that's like, he really molded my media consulting.
Wow.
And my last one is, his name is Kamari. He goes by Kamari Flash Films on Instagram, but pretty much, like, he does a lot of the videography for Essence, a lot of it for BT, like, editing-wise, but yeah, he was the reason I started directing. I remember I was we were working for the BET Experience, and like, you know how BET Experience is like a whole weekend, like it's not just one day, but it's, I would say it's Friday, Saturday, and then the BET Awards is on Sunday. But we were shooting the BET Experience on Saturday. We were shooting an event, and I was tagged along to him to help shoot and everything, help pretty much line up the shots, do a shot list. And like, I just asked him, I mean, like, yo, like, I can hold that camera, like, let me see, like, I can see how I like it. He's like, yo, bro, go ahead, like, you feel me? First person to let me hold $5,000 to $10,000 camera, like, and like, really do my thing, like, yo, there was no restraints, there was no, bro, like, don't drop it, don't blah, blah, blah. He was just like, yo, bro, I trust you, get right. And that was when I realized I wanted to direct, because that camera heavy as hell. Anybody that is a videographer, anybody in front holding the camera, I respect y'all to the max, because that camera heavy as hell. Don't nobody feel like, all y'all that watch these videos, music videos, with people holding guns and stuff at the cameras and everything, that is the, yo, give it up to the videographer, because imagine somebody pointing the strap at you. You don't know if it's loaded. You don't know if it's on safety or not. But everybody just waving. Everybody in the room just waving straps at you, whatever, at you. And you holding this heavy-ass $5,000 to $10,000 camera that you cannot drop. It's your life's work. And these niggas is waving straps at your face. And you got to worry about getting a shot, getting the right shot, and making sure that shit look wavy for everybody to like.
Yo, right. The cameraman don't get enough love, man, for this, especially the video like, with these, like, these niggas drinking lean and smoking and shit and waving this shit in your face. I'm like, yo, man.
Everybody having fun while you having a workout.
Yeah, I mean, yo, have you seen that meme when it's like, when it showed the cameraman, he got an AK and he holding the camera with his AK back? I'm like, damn, like,
now
son.
We can do all that. You feel me? Now we can have fun. Now we can do all that, because now I feel safe. Because it's like, nigga, what? Imagine, look at your back. It's like, bro, that's why I'm the director. I feel you. I'm going to stand behind there, make sure the vision look all good. But yeah, bro. Like, that cameraman life is a different animal. And them niggas deserve all the type of respect in the world.
I'm telling you, man, it's a dangerous job, but man, you really been tapped in with the culture, man. For you dropped some heavy names like it was light work, man. You said BET, 106 and Park. You also said Hot 97, man. Like, tell us about, like, man, Hot 97, the legendary hip hop, man, one of the biggest hip hop for New York, really, man, the biggest. For a long time until recently, unfortunately, but like the biggest in hip hop music, Hot 97. Did you get to meet Rosenberg and Ebro and all the people like that?
Yeah, man, that was a real dope experience for me. That was in 2016. I was an intern. The parent company was called MS Communications. For anybody who wants to go possibly up top and wants to intern there for the future, it's called MS Communications. You know what I mean? Y'all could apply there, try to get an internship there. That's the parent company for Hot 97. So pretty much that I got that internship, and I pretty much I did that all summer. And I was supposed to be doing summer classes. But I said, fuck that shit.
Word.
I said, fuck it, I'm gonna work at Hot 97, nigga.
Yes, sir. And then that seemed like, you know, by the time you got with it, it was paid internships. Because back in the day, it was like, yeah, you niggas is doing this free.
Yeah, like, I ain't gonna lie, I've been blessed, though. Like, I have been blessed to do all these jobs and work all these things. But it's been nothing short but hard work, bro. Like, really, like, putting in straight pain. It's not always what you know, it's who you know too, but it's really like how you move. Like, and trust me, like, I've had my fair share of learning lessons of, like, know what I mean, of doing too much in the wrong place, wrong time.
Give us one of them lessons, man, for the people, man. Give us one of them lessons you learned. Just one, a jewel you could drop on them in a learning experience.
Oh my gosh. I want to give somebody something that's not as obvious because I've done dumb shit. Like,
hey, that's life, baby. You live and you learn, man.
Trying to get something obvious, something that's not so fucking obvious. Just be prepared. Like, preparation meets opportunity equals success, bro. Like, that shit is real shit. Like, one of my mentors told me that shit was like, yo, that shit is real shit, bro. I remember this one BET event, it was the red carpet, and my call time was 9:00, and I get there on time, but I forgot my phone, and they calling me and blacking on me, bro. Like, yo, how do you forget your phone, bro? Like, that was one. Another one, I would say, take a deep breath. Like, keep your cool and calm and keep calm. Like, the industry that we work in, like, it's not for the light of heart. It's not for people with, you know what I mean, sensitive skin. Like,
you can't be soft. You can't be soft.
I don't want to say that, like, you feel me? Because there are some people, like, that are sensitive, emotionally sensitive, or take certain tones a certain way, and I'm not going to discriminate against them. But it's just more so you have to know what you want in it. Like, you can't play around, like, because people, you know what I mean, they're not going to give up their spot. They're not just going to take your word for it. You got to be able to have that proof, like, yo, this is what I do. This is, you know what I mean, and have that confidence. Because sometimes, like, people just going to walk all over you. Like, they just really just going to do whatever they want just because they feel they can. Like, me personally, like, and this will be the, like, first time I said it, like, on a platform type thing. Like, I said it around my friends and, like, my family and, like, of course, a couple other, like, people that I'm close with. But, like, it's cool, like, it's cool to say no to something. It's cool to, like, put your bona fide stamp on yourself. Like, BET wanted to keep offering, like, I was doing production assistant work, like, know what I mean? Like, a lot of the times, like, a couple of times I did just regular production work, but production assistant is more so, like, when you're just going, doing things for them, like, you're setting up, you're putting the production together, like, know what I mean? Like, you're helping the crew, like, it's really just, to me, it was work that I felt like I was getting too old for. I felt like it was internship work. I felt like nobody was giving me the chance to, yo, bro, come, like, what idea do you have for this? Like, yo, do you, like, you're young. What's the idea? Like, what's new and what's creative and this, that, and the third? Like, I'm like, a lot of the times, like, I would speak out of turn or I would speak like, yo, bro, like, y'all not listening. Like, y'all don't want to listen to the young new cats. Like, blah, 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 like, and it's like, you just gotta know in yourself, like, that you're dope. You gotta know that you're dope and really not care what any of the masses or anything said, bro. Like, I remember I called that NBA, I mean, that Cordae was gonna be dope. That Cordae was gonna be lit. I told people, and we was in the BT, we was in one of the boardrooms, like, not in the boardroom necessarily, but we was in one of the lounges. And it was just a bunch of everybody that works there, pretty much in the office people, just a whole bunch of people like that. And I mean, we'll make decision makers, like, you would say. But I was just telling them, like, look, bro, like, this cat is the next thing. Like, I heard three different songs. I'm telling you, he's dope. Like, he's about to be, like, literally the next thing. They're like, what? Like, that, the kid with the list? Like, what? What are you talking about? Like, nah, bro. Like, them little badass kids, they gonna die. Like, they gonna be here, and then they gonna die in, like, a year. I'm like, all right, man. Whatever you say. Next thing you know, Cordae is Grammy nominated. And it's just like, you just gotta know you dope, bro. Like, you just gotta know, like, yo, bro, like, there's nothing else. There's nothing that can stop me. Like,
You gotta have that unlimited belief in yourself, for real. Like, you just gotta really just feel
in yourself,
and that's what it's about.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying that's what it's about. Like, in that industry, man, it's dog eat dog, and it's a lot of, like, you know, I've been around different people. I haven't been as tapped in as you, but I know a lot of people that do different things in the industry. And I just know it's a lot of phoniness, it's a lot of snakes, it's a lot of, you know, I'm your bro, I'm going to look out for you, then they talking behind your back, and this, and that, and people going to
degrade. That's a big fact, bro. Like,
word. You
never know somebody really thinking, bro. Like, you never know what somebody really thinking until they not hiring you no more, until they not calling your phone no more, not offering you the budget when they really have it.
Even, like, even really, friends, though, that's when it really get deep, because, like, you could come up with somebody and they'd be like, okay, we in this grind together, and they could be trying to talk shit about you behind your back, trying to steal your position, knock you off your pivot. Like, that's just, in the industry, it's a weird game of just ego and trying to stay on top in the game, and that shit, it gets rough. And that's why the music industry, that media industry, film, all that is really, like you said, is not for everybody. And also, you got to know when to be quiet, and you also got to know when to stand up for yourself. I was just listening to a podcast, and they were talking about Kevin Garnett, and they said Kevin Garnett, when he was playing ball with players on the team and different people, he couldn't trust you, or he didn't fuck with you until you talk shit back to him. Because, like, who want to talk shit back to a 7-foot monster that just seemed like he's just gonna fuck everybody up, especially reporters?
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? Especially a reporter. So he basically didn't fuck with you until you bark back on him. So it's just like, it seemed like in the industry too, you gotta know when to be quiet and play your role, but you also, you can't be a pawn and get stepped on and get treated like shit. That ain't the way to get on. Like, some people get on that way, but you gotta get your respect. And respect comes with knowing when to speak and knowing when not to speak. So it's just a serious game, and it's not for everybody, you know. You know, Clubhouse is really taking over right now and shit like that, man. That app is really going crazy, and a lot of people giving games. And I noticed, like, a lot of the mentors and shit like that, they're going to give you that shit raw. They're not going to give you that, like, oh, you should just fix this, you should just do this, you should. I'm like, nah, man, this shit looks terrible. You're not ready. You're not serious. This bio shows me, it was a dude in there breaking down people's bios. This shows me you're not working hard enough. This shows me you're inconsistent. Like, stuff like that, man. It's really a serious thing, man. And it's not for everybody. So, man, and then being around different celebrities and stuff like that. How do you handle being around celebrity?
Man, celebrities, really just got moved like the regular people, bro. Like, nobody wants to be around fans all the time. Like, that's just really, like, even working in Cam Kirk Studios, like, it's a blessing, but in order to be in there, you gotta keep a level head. You gotta be cool, like, because it's crazy, because, like, I've had my fair share of, like, I had my starstruck moments. Like, know what I mean? But after you have these things, it's like, you really realize, like, people don't care about you. Like, people, like, celebrities be having their own world, like, that they sticking in, and they're really not trying to invite you in. Like, you feel me? They're not trying to invite another person to pay. Like, know what I mean? Like, from, like, all right, so, like, really, like, when I talk to the homies, the creatives, it's like, y'all got to think about, like, everybody puts so much stigma on celebrities and be around celebrities and shit. Like, you want to work for Celebrity, you want to work for Future, you want to work, you want to, like, shoot, you want to shoot these people and do things to these people and be a part of their crew, you want to chill with them every day. But it's like, y'all got to remember, these people have people like that already. Like, they have their crew already. Like, you feel me? They already have who they paying, who they going to for budgets for music, for most of the time for music videos, like, or who they want when the big budget comes in, who music video they want. Like, you feel me? I've been told by my mentors, like, to find somebody who's on, like, your playing field and grow up with them. Like, you feel me? Like, find somebody that's on your level of creativity, and y'all strengthen each other. Y'all should, like, still sharpen the steel. Like, because that, like, so that people that just depend on celebrity marketing and celebrity status and shit, like, that shit gonna fade out eventually. Because you don't even know if that celebrity gonna be famous for that long.
Work. Like, word, man. You know,
the niggas gonna get canceled. You don't know what's going on with them. So why to put your faith in another man? You depend on another, on a woman, like, on another celebrity, like, type thing. Like, that shit's dumb.
Definitely, but, because, man, people don't even make it to 3 albums. If you could, if I could tell you, all right, name 10 celebrities right now that came out in the past 5 years, they're 3 albums. A lot of people can't do that. Because it's like, niggas be hot. They be on a super wave, and then it just falls. Like, a lot of people, especially in rap and shit, they don't make it to 3 albums. So it's like, yo, you putting all your eggs and shit in one basket and being around this person and you trying to get the clout. It's like, nowadays too, a lot of people fall in love with the celebrity aspect and the hanging out and the different parties, and I was around this person, than they fucking bank account. Like, nigga, I'd rather have 1 million in the can in my bank account than 1 million followers. But that's what people don't realize. They like, yo, nah, you gotta fuck with this person because look how many followers and this and that. While they missing out on their opportunity to get some real game from somebody, you being starstruck when the person behind that person is the nigga that's really going to get you to a bag. But, you know, everybody focus on the celebrity. But it's always people around them and behind them that's doing major things. That's why you always be respectable and you always pay attention to everybody and how everybody moves, because you never know. Somebody's around you all the time that could change your life. You one conversation away. One post away, DM, whatever away, man. But a lot of people, especially nowadays, especially with kids growing up in this era of social media, it's like, bruh, they so worried about followers and views and shit. It's like, bruh, what about the people that put them in position to be there? Like, music and shit like that, it's marketing like a motherfucker. Like, marketing is huge, huge. Now, I know you said you into marketing. How, is that like a big factor? How important is that?
I would say marketing is super important. The way my boss, Cam Kirk, even explained it to me, like the big artists are for marketing purposes. Like, you feel me? Like, when you guys shoot the celebrities and things like that and post celebrities, that's for marketing purposes, because you know that that's going to try to get you a lot of clicks. But, like, I mean, you know how that goes. Like, but the little artists and, like, the little plays that you get, the foot traffic and, like, the people on the ground level that fuck with you, that's when you really know, like, yeah, shit is booming. Like, just example for the studio. Like, the studio is alive based off the foot traffic, over 500 appointments a month. Like, you feel me? It's alive based off the beating heart is the clients, is the everyday people. The beating heart is cool. Like, the celebrities are marketable that come through, and we have pictures of celebrities everywhere because they do come there, but they pay just like every other client. And it's when they come there, like, when they come there, but it's not every day. It's not every single day like every other client. It's once in a blue, or when it's album time, or when it's time for me to get things done. But there's clients in there that book every week, and those are the heart of the studio. So it's like, it's not always the big marketing that you need. Sometimes it's the foot traffic and the little marketing that, and I mean the little sales that you do. But, like, I mean, for people that do photography, it's the little photo shoots sometimes. Like, sometimes it's the person that comes back at 3-4 times for those little $200, $200 photo shoots. Like, sometimes y'all just gotta be stay down and stay on the grind. And, I mean, realize what works for your audience, or what works for you guys.
Word, because, like, a person, like, I always like to use Anthony Hamilton. Like, Anthony Hamilton is a singer, and he's a household name to some, but he's not a household name as a Beyonce and stuff like that to the masses. But he has a core where he could pack out a smaller venue consistently when tours was going on, rather than a large venue, so he could carve out the life he wants. And that's what I try to tell people, and I know that's what they do at the studio, is that they have a core. When you have a core, that's people that's really gonna fuck with you. People that just don't follow you, they pay for things, they come, they tell a friend to tell a friend, they bring in traffic and money for you. So for everybody out there listening, whatever you do, find your core, connect with them, stay connected with them. They do a great job of that at the studio, making the people feel like a part of the studio. But I know you originally, you say you're from New Jersey. How did you end up in Atlanta first off, and then how did you end up at the studio, Cam Kirk Studios?
Well, after I graduated, I went to Delaware State University. Delaware State is located in Dover, Delaware. So after that, I didn't really want to go back to Jersey. And I mean, with like the only city to commute to is New York and Philly, and I have to commute there, like I said. So it's like, I'd rather just, if I was going to pick a city to move to and live in, it was between here and Houston. And at the time, Atlanta was a little cheaper. So now it is, like, I think it's reversed. But I'm loving Atlanta. I'm loving the decision I made. I didn't have any network down here. That was a main reason. I didn't really have anybody down here that could help me, like, really get some money and get to a bag. So I needed to create that. So I had some people. I have people in L.A. I had, of course, from working with BET and everything. And I had a couple friends that moved out there that I've moved some, that got some moves that they've been making. But and I did everything in New York, like, that I felt like was important, from, of course, High 97 and a couple other BET jobs. But I didn't have anybody in Atlanta. And I still there's a couple of other spots I still just feel like I need to knock off, but I don't plan on moving there. But it's like, Atlanta is a good hub for coming down here and starting your life and creating and building along with your Black people. And I mean, I feel like this is Black Hollywood almost. Just you can come down here and just live a different life.
Word. But then how did you get connected with Cam Kirk Studios?
Now, I got connected with Cam Kirk Studios because my roommate, Marley. So if anybody pulls up to the studio and meet the manager, Marley, or YM, he used to be my roommate. And, well, I've known him since freshman year in college.
Now, I was going to say that, not to cut you off, but I was like, when you said that, I had Marley on here earlier. Go check out that interview I did with Marley, everybody. YM, the legend, man. Queens, man. Get the money. Shout out to him. Shout out to J. Rose, brother, man. Lawyer making big moves. But, man, when you said that, I was like, yo, I'm going to go backtrack and ask him, like, do you know Marley? And that's how I connected it. I'm like, man, the world is really who you know. So,
yeah, by Marley. Way back to freshman year in college. We stayed in the same freshman dorm. He stayed literally one floor above me. The same, pretty much same hallway, one floor above me. We just stayed tight throughout the whole, pretty much the whole experience of college. And then we ended up. It was actually funny. We had stopped talking for a quick minute for like maybe like about 6 months. Like, we had stopped seeing each other. Like, I ain't seen him for like across campus. Like, he had just got low. You know, like when people just stop seeing him at college. Like, you just, oh damn, I ain't seen him that long, bro. Like, where you been at? And so it was one of those situations. And it was crazy because it was that day, like, I had not necessarily kicked out my crib, but I had left the crib that I was staying in. And I needed a crib, a new crib. I'm like, damn, what am I going to do? Like, I'm not trying to go back to Jersey. So I had just ran into Marley, like, coming out of class. Like, it was, like, literally, I want to say it was almost finals week. So pretty much, like, it was, his final was right before mine or something like that. And I ran into Marley's roommate at the time. His name was Brett. That's why Marley's best friends. So he was telling me, blah, 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 you got a room and everything. And then when I'm walking outside with him, Marley's outside in the car. He's like, yo, bro, like, blah, 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 you know what I mean? I would chop it up and everything. And he's like, yeah, come through and check out the room. So next thing you know, long story short, roommates. And Marley's brother is Cam's lawyer. So it just so happened, I mean.
Shout out to Jay Rose.
When came down here, Marley was moving around. He worked at the studio. He ended up showing Cam my resume. And I got on this, and I got hired. So it just so happened, man. I mean, God had a blessing and store for me. And I mean, all my hard work
is
paid off. Everything's been smooth.
Man, Cam Kirk Studios, man, legendary studio, man. Boy, YM, man, I had him on a podcast, man. Everybody, y'all really got to check that out. This dude is just full of energy and life. And just, I asked him a million questions about being positive and being himself, man. Like, shout out to the boy Marley, man. But now you had the after podcast. The people want to know it. Are we going to hear something about the after podcast? Are we going to get back into a Cam Kirk Studio version of a podcast? I know he's doing Behind the Cam right now. That's kind of a quick, you know, introduction and telling stories. I'm loving it. I'm watching them on Fridays whenever you drop them, man, and I'm loving what y'all doing over there. But any podcast coming out of there, I know you was producing that thing, man.
Yeah, man. After podcast, everybody was pretty much like, that was our podcast that we were on the live aspect before Corona. Like, it was so annoying, man. Like, it's so crazy that we was on this live idea and then Corona happened. Now everybody has to go Skype, go live, pretty much quarantine radio, do everything on. We trying to battle Tory on live, and it's like, thing like that. So I don't want to make everybody seem like, and I don't want to make it seem like everybody else seems to like do it off, you know? But it's just more so like Cam wants to up it, like he wants to make sure like he giving the full experience of the after podcast that he knows, like, you know what I mean, like that lives up to the legendary Cam Kirk Studio name. He felt like after it was, he was still just shooting, like, he felt like he was shooting in the dark. He was shooting in the dark with it at first. And we were just trying to figure out something, like, you know what I mean? Figure out what worked, figure out what didn't, figure out, like, you know what I mean? Just try to find our way. But we're just trying to go back to the drawing board right now. We're having an idea of possibly bringing in a live audience. I mean, so that's pretty much like what was the next step. But we're just working on some new things in the studio, working on some new shows, pushing on some new things. But whether the podcast comes back is to be announced. Yeah, I got to stay tuned for that.
Stay tuned, everybody. Stay locked in. Stay tuned, man. So, are you on Clubhouse? Have you been in the rooms and dealt with the madness?
I haven't received my invite just yet, player, but it's supposed to come through tonight or tomorrow.
Okay.
My boy said he got me with the invite finally, and I said I will send that thing through sometime today or tomorrow.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you.
We're going to see.
It's the wildest shit at times, but the greatest thing, and what I can say is it's just fucking crazy. I just was on it recently, you know, before we got on, and Tyrese is giving game about how he dropped a fucking bar, man. Listen to this shit, right? He said, I turned 30 seconds of a Coca-Cola commercial into 20 years of a career in this game. I said, holy shit. I said, whoa. I said, you want to talk about fucking bars? He said, I turned 30 seconds into that. You know, if you old enough to remember, he was singing on the back of the bus, and it was a Coca-Cola commercial, and he just got big from doing that. And he's in a room with the game. They had these welcome party things of different celebrities. So it's basically, I break Clubhouse down to lectures. Like, it's like you in live lectures with people, like on a moderator stage, and they on the front, and they allow you to ask questions from the audience and stuff. But 9 times out of 10, you just marvel at these different celebrities telling their stories and just talking on there, and it's connecting with these people. But it's also smaller rooms talking about Atlanta photography meetups, what you need to do for your podcast. They talk about the stock market tips. They got different BET. Why is BET not popping? Or what will make BET pop again? And they have the executives from BET actually in there listening to people, and they pitching fucking ideas and this and that. But then they also got the ratchet shit with motherfuckers is moaning and doing horny weird shit and then on the shit. For all you freak niggas out there, all you freak niggas out there trying to get on Clubhouse for that version, y'all, that's Clubhouse After Dark for y'all. So you hear some of the wildest shit in the world and maybe hook up with a couple chicks. Yeah, man. If y'all into that, you know, you get on Clubhouse for that. Yeah, so it's just like, man, it's this great thing of just like, man, just, it's just so amazing. But the thing I want, man, I said, man, what is it going to take for us, like, as in black people, to build our own Instagram, Facebook, you know, Clubhouse? Because what it is, that Clubhouse was this little thing, I think, more so for, like, tech people to troubleshoot and talk about things, and they all get together. I think that was the original idea, or like a smaller idea. But of course, just like most things in life, black people come in there and they make this shit pop, man. And we make, they say black Twitter. They say, like, you know, we follow, people get discovered off of Instagram and get all these followers and YouTube. And it's just like, man, I want to see, like, I really admire what y'all do at the studio because it's so inspiring with the different moves. Shout out to, man, y'all partner with Atlantic Records to start like a photography style and content style record label type shit, man. The groundbreaking shit, that right there, we need more of that. And we need that next app to take shit over that's black owned and really ran, because what it do is we make this shit crack for them. This shit be cocaine and we make that shit crack for the people that own that shit. Black people make the shit pop, man. So it's like, what is it gonna take for us to take over and do our own shit like that?
Pretty much just unifying, man, and bringing ideas together.
Yeah, we can't hold on. We gotta bring ideas together, man. Word, we gotta put that ego aside, man, and we gotta figure it out. But man, people, man, I'm telling you, Juice, when you on that Clubhouse, man, I'm definitely gonna send you to, you know, hey, whenever you get on, I'm about to be like, yo, Juice, let's start a room, let's create, because, I mean, you got some great, amazing ideas, and I know we rock with each other on a podcast tip. You know, you can start things. They got, like, beat battles, and they giving out $1,000 to people. They, you know, they letting people, you know, spit their bars, freestyle sessions and shit. They might even bring Freestyle Friday back on that motherfucker. 21 Savage is in there, like, just giving game. 21 Savage told the story of, like, he's talking to Usher in a room, and everybody just listening, and he asked Usher, he said, hey, yo, Usher, who was on that? Can you handle it? Who was singing on that? He said, yo, I ain't even gonna lie to you, that's Paula Patton. I was like, oh, shit. I'm like, nigga, what? Like, he said, yo, I ain't gonna lie to you, that was Paula Patton. I finished my last 3 songs for Confessions at Robin Thicke's house. And on that, when you go back, everybody, this is recorded podcast. Man, go back and listen to that. Can you handle it? And when you hear her talking, I can handle it, I could go there, baby, with you. That's Paula Patton, man. That is Paula Patton. Yes, sir, man. So I just can't wait. And I really think this also is a good opportunity for us to unify, because they had a room with academics and Meek Mill and different people that had problems with academics, and they was able to speak their piece respectfully, because your man 21 Savage was like telling them, like, yo, let them talk, let academics talk, and let's get to some middle ground. So I'm really hoping with this app that we start to unify, because I see it happening. I really see us like talking our grievances out, and a bunch of people is being moderators for real, like middlemen, and really just like, yo, you got to understand where this person coming from. I got to understand where this person coming from. If you got BET in the room and we giving ideas on how to make BET better, this is just some amazing shit that's going on. But what I want to see next, we take this amazing like clubhouse shit and that energy, and we make that shit our own, man, and we empower everybody else, man. I really hope so.
Yeah, that's a fact, bro. Like, that's really, I'm going to hop on that shit, bro, because that shit sounds like a vibe. I can't even show.
Word. So what are you working on before we get out of here? What can we expect from the legend, man?
I'm trying to put together my next campaign, like, for real.
Okay. Well, man, we got to stay tuned.
Yeah, bro. Like, I'm really trying to figure out, like, how I'm going to do this. Because pretty much what I want to do is figure out what really makes a GQ shoot. Like, I really want to find out, like, what not necessarily makes a GQ shoot. Because, of course, you know what I mean, like, GQ is, you know what I mean? Like, they've been established for years. And they pick different people. They make, like, they pick different styles. They pick different fashion. Like, it's more fashion-driven. But Juice GQ is based off of pretty much, how can I say it? Like, I don't want to say, like, because I don't want to speak out of turn, but when I came up with my name and everything, like, in my brand, I pretty much want to show the black excellence and the black elegance, right? You know what I mean? Like, pretty much the smoothness of gentlemen quarterly, that they, of course, you know what I mean, they have a lot of black people that they, you know what I mean, that work there. And a lot of black people, of course, you know what I mean, that model for them and are shown, like, they show us a lot of love. But I'm not sure if the owner and the starter was black. I want to start that vibe. I want to pretty much, like, you know what I mean? Like, really just dive into how beautiful and how elegant our people are, from our people, derived from a black person.
Word. And that's all you got to do is, man, you in great company. At the studio, you got the drive. It's just a matter of when opportunity meets preparation, man. So you just got to keep going. You just got to keep moving, man. And lastly, what I do with all my guests before we get out of here, I call it speaking to existence, man. What is the legacy of Juice going to be, man? Speak it to existence right now, man.
Ooh. Let's see. How can I say it? The legacy of Juice? Respect is earned, not given.
Word.
I'm gonna speak that into existence of pretty much the world will love. Well, if it doesn't love my work, it'll respect me for doing it.
Word, man, and this is recorded.